All right, well, we are continuing on in our honor series this week. And so just for a recap, honor, as it's described in the Hebrew and Greek, one of the things that it means is to make heavy. Make heavy as in like many blessings, many possessions even. It also means to esteem or respect someone. And last week we talked about how we are to praise God and esteem him and respect him with our words and make him heavy with our praise, regardless of the season that we're in, right? Whether we're in a good season or a hard season, we should still want to honor God with our words, honor him with how we talk about him, that he is a good God. Regardless of what we're going through, that does not negate the fact that he is still good and he is still God, and we should praise him and let him know. This week, we're going to talk about how you live in, putting your money where your mouth is. So we say it, say that God is good, but how you live in. So before we actually jump into this morning, let's just pray. Lord God, we just thank you that you are good. We just continue to declare that, Lord God, that you are a good God, that you're a loving Father, and that you desire the best for us. We recognize that fact. And God, I ask that you just prepare our hearts today to receive what you have for us, that we would be changed by the power of your word, Lord God, and that we would walk away different. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, putting your money where your mouth is. I'm sure you've heard that saying before. That means like show it, show that you can back up what you're saying. 1 Samuel 15:22 says this. As this is actually Samuel talking to King Saul, as God gave Saul a commandment. And Saul says, "See the sacrifices that I have brought to God." And Samuel says this, "But Samuel replied, 'Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams.'" So even above our praise and sacrifice, our obedience is more desirable to God. And so last week we talked about giving God our praise, which God describes in the Bible, is described in the Bible as a sacrifice of praise, offering to him a sacrifice of praise, which is good. Sacrifices are a pleasing aroma to God, but obedience is better than sacrifice. God doesn't want us just to give him things to try to appease him. He wants us to live for him. So obedience honors God. And in the Hebrew, the word obey is the Hebrew word shema, which means to hear, pay attention to, or obey. They actually don't have two separate words for hear and obey. It's hear and obey. It's the one word, shema. It's like when you read it in the Hebrew, it's like hear it and do it. Hear it and do it. And above our praise, God desires our obedience. I'm going to read through a story here and just kind of walk us through it this morning. And it comes from Joshua in chapters, I believe, 6 and 7. And we're just going to jump into it here, Joshua 6, verses 1. This is when Israel is now coming into the promised land and God is taking them through. And it says this in verse 1. "Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor.'" So God's saying, "I'm going to give you guys victory. Not because of your wit, your cunning, your strength, your power, your skill, but I'm going to give you guys victory here." So then skip down to verse 16, and it says this, "And at the seventh time, as God told them to march around the city and blow the trumpets and shout," it says, "when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.' and the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury for the Lord of the Lord. So God told Joshua, I'm going to give you this battle strategy. You guys are going to march around the city. You're going to shout. The walls are going to come down. I'm giving you the city. You're going to destroy it. Destroy everything that I'm telling you to destroy and put everything that I'm telling you to put into my treasury. Put it into my treasury. Keep nothing for yourself. I want you to be obedient in this. So the walls come tumbling down, and Israel marches in, and they destroy the city. But I want us to see this part here in Joshua 7:1. After they go in, they destroy the city. It says this, but the people of Israel broke faith in regards to the devoted things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. So somebody said, or saw actually, something that they wanted, something that God said, that is mine, put it into my treasury. And it's like, I'm just going to take a little bit for myself. And so he did. Achan took a little bit of the spoils for himself, and he actually hid them. He went and he hid it under his tent. We can think sometimes that these little sins, little things are not that big of a deal. It's just a little thing. God doesn't really care about it that much. It's not really hurting anyone. But we should not minimize sin. Sin is a big deal to God. Disobedience is a big deal to God. Whether we think it's a big thing or a little thing, all sin separates us from God, and it's a big deal. Now, if you continue on in this story, after Israel defeats Jericho, and this takes place, they go now to march on to the next city to defeat it that God was leading them to. It's the city of AI. No, not artificial intelligence. And as they're going to the city, they see and they're like, hey, this is not a very big city. Their people are not very great warriors. Let's just only send a certain amount of people. It'll be easy for us to overtake them and win this battle. So they send their army, and lo and behold, the people of Ai, the warriors of Ai, come out and they actually rout the city or the Israelites, and they chase them off, and a number of people die, and Joshua is like, God, what is going on? Why did this take place? We just had victory over a much larger city and much greater warriors, and now all of a sudden we're getting defeated and we're losing people. What is going on? And God points out to Joshua, he's like, Israel sinned. Somebody has done something which I told them not to do. And because of that, you've broke faith with me. And after, and then God begins to speak to Joshua and begins through a kind of a systematic way. He gets down to where Achan himself is found out. And Joshua says, what have you done? And Achan's like, you're right. You got me. I went and I took some of the things that God told us not to take, and I took them and I hid them under my tent. And so, because of that, Israel got defeated at Ai. And once Achan was found out, him and his family who aided him in the deception in hiding the things were put to death. And I think something that we can think often is that, one, our sin isn't that big of a deal, And two, that it doesn't affect anybody else, which is a lie. Did Achan's sin affect anybody else other than himself? Yes. Not only did it affect his family, which he drew them into the sin, he's like, shh, let's keep quiet about this. Like they would have known him digging a hole under the tent and putting all the stuff there. So let's keep quiet about this. Don't tell anybody. Well, God knew. And then it also didn't just affect his family, but it affected, I think it was like 30 some odd people who died in their first attack of Ai. Like, what did they do? They suffered because of his sin. So we fool ourselves into thinking that our sin, our disobedience to God, has no effect on anybody else. It does, whether directly or indirectly. We can think, well, it's really not hurting anybody right now. But if you're doing something or not obeying God in a certain something, it's affecting you. It's affecting your heart and what God has told you to do. And if it's affecting you, it's affecting others as well, because you're not being the person that God has called you to be, which means you're not able to love and care for others like God wants you to do. If you're letting this sin, this disobedience, this rebellion fester in your heart. You might think, well, that's pretty harsh. God just like went off and killed, or had Achan and his family killed. But God was rooting out rebellion. And we can think, well, that's a pretty harsh God. I thought God was good. God is good, but God would not be a good God if he let and accepted sin and rebellion. He's also a righteous and just God. And being holy, righteous, and holy, just, he does not accept sin. He loves us in our sin, but he doesn't accept our sin. And he doesn't accept our rebellion, because rebellion draws us away from God. And if we let it continue, it destroys us. And God doesn't want us to be destroyed. He loves us. He loves us so much that he wants to deal with the thing that is destroying us. And sometimes we can view it as a little bit harsh. God, why are you dealing so harshly with me right now? Because I love you. Because I don't want you to be destroyed. So he asks us to be obedient. He asks us to obey. And sometimes we're not going to understand why he's asking us to do what he's asking us to do. But we just need to trust him and give him our heart, even if we don't understand. Yeah, this is a little heavy one today. Sorry. But it's good, because God is good. When I was in college, just getting into college, and just a little background, as you guys know, I was a big baseball player. And I loved everything baseball. And if you watched baseball and was in the baseball scene, there was certain things that you did, little mannerisms, little like superstitions that a lot of baseball players did. I wasn't very superstitious, but I was like totally into the baseball scene. Like you wear the batting gloves and you wear all these little different things that make you look like a baseball player. Well, there was something else that I saw a lot of baseball players doing that I was like, I want to do that too, which was I wanted to get an earring. There's a lot of baseball players who are getting earrings, getting blinged out. And I was like, I want to get blinged out too. And I remember at the time, this is when I was actually just going to Grace Harbor. So still living at home. I was like, Dad, I want to get an earring. And he's like, yeah, that's not happening. I was like, what's wrong with that? He's like, I just don't want you to. And at the time, I think I was 18 or 19. And he's like, no, I don't want you to. I was like, can you give me a reason? I was like, I don't really have a reason. I just don't want you to get it. He's like, well, you don't have any good reason. He's like, no, I don't, but I don't like it. I don't want you to get one. And so being 18, 19 years old, I had every legal right as far as our United States government and the state of Washington is concerned to go out and get that earring on my own. It was fully within my right. My dad didn't actually say that if I did that, I was going to get kicked out of the house. He just said, I don't want you to do that. So I had a decision to make. Was I going to honor my dad and his wishes and obey what he said, or was I going to go out and do what I wanted to do and get this earring? Well, I can say in this instance, not in all instances, but in this instance, I chose to honor my dad. And I didn't get the earring. Even though some of my other friends were getting it and I was feeling left out. So after Israel roots out, God roots out the rebellion by killing Achan. Then they go back against Ai, and for a second time, and he gives them victory, overwhelmingly so. In Joshua 8, 1 and 2, it says this, "And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear and do not be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you and arise and go up to Ai. I have given it into your hand, the king of Ai and his people, his city, and his land, and you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, only its spoil and its livestock you shall take as plunder for yourselves. Lay ambush against the city behind it." And they did, and they go, and they conquered Ai in spectacular fashion. But did you see that in verse 2? It says this, in the second half of verse 2, "Only its spoil and its livestock you shall take as what? As plunder for yourselves." So God is not a fun killer. He is not just trying to keep fun stuff from us. But he wants our obedience. Will you trust me in this? He's like, I need to know that you guys are going to obey. I need to know that you're going to trust me. I need to know that I have your heart. And then he says, go ahead, take it. Take for yourselves the plunder and the spoils. Be blessed, for the rebellion has been rooted out. And you now, I now know that I have your heart and I have your obedience. So God wasn't just trying to keep Israel from taking the spoils when they went against Jericho. It's like, no, I don't want you guys to have any fun. I don't want you guys to have it. He's like, no, I want your heart. And when I know your heart, then I'm going to bless you abundantly so. Now, there was a period of about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months after I decided I was going to honor my dad and not get that earring. And my dad ends up coming to me and he says, you know, I've been praying about it. It's like, oh, okay. And I'm feeling convicted. God's been telling me that it's really not that big of a deal. And he highlighted to me that, you know, how the inside's more important than the outside. And I think he was talking to me, like, you've honored me in this. Thank you so much for obeying me in this. You didn't have to. I said, so I'm going to let you get an earring. I was like, yes. Then he said, but if you're going to do this, we're going to do it right. I was like, okay, what does that mean? So like, come with me. So I get in his truck and he takes me to a jewelry store. And he's like, if you're going to get an earring, you're going to get a real one. I'm going to buy you a diamond earring. Which was not in my budget. I was going to get some cheap $5 thing at Claire's or wherever you get it done. But my dad was like, no, because you honored me in this, because you blessed me, I'm going to bless you. And so he did. He bought me a diamond earring, and I got a diamond earring And I was the only one with a real authentic diamond earring in my ear on my baseball team. And I was the envy of everybody else. But God loves it when we honor him. He loves our obedience. Galatians 6, 7 through 8 says this, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will also he reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So just taking what you want because you want it is sowing to the flesh, and that's going to kill you. And God doesn't want you, and I'm not just talking about a physical, literal death, which we will all suffer, but a spiritual death, which is eternal, which is separation from God for eternity, which God does not want. He wants you to be with him for eternity. So we can't hide things from God. Achan tried to hide it. He hid it under his tent. God found it out. God knew. So we can't hide things from God. And we should want to honor him in all that we do. So I want to ask this question. What have you tried, maybe tried to hide from God, or even try to hide in your own mind, like, ah, it's not that big of a deal? I would ask this question as well. If you don't think it's that big of a deal, would you do it if Jesus was sitting with you? Would you do it if your mother was sitting with you? Mm. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything that we do, we should want to honor God in. It should be glorifying to him. It should be obedience in accordance with his word. So, yeah, how do we honor him? It's by obeying his word. How do we know his word? Well, we read it. You have to read the Bible and see what it says. And whatever it tells you to do, you should do. Whatever it tells you you should not do, you should not do it. Knowing that he's not just, again, setting up rules to kill our fun or just to get us to do certain things. The things that God has set in place, the rules that he's set in place is for your benefit, is for your good, it's for your life everlasting, for your eternity. So we should want to obey what God's word says. So what does God's word say? I've got just a few little things here. This is not an extensive list, but it's just a little bit to for you guys to then build upon and research on your own. But what does God say about, like, our bodies and what we do with our bodies? God is against, God's word speaks a lot about sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 through 5 says this, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passions of the lust like the Gentiles do who do not know God." So we're supposed to honor God with our bodies and how we live. I wrote down a bunch of other scriptures for you, I believe, if you have the handouts or on your phone, for you to look up on this as well. But God did not just set this up because he's, again, trying to steal our fun. Well, he just doesn't want me to have any fun. No, God is trying to protect you. He's trying to guard your heart. He's trying to even guard your body. I don't know if you guys have done some research, but it's not healthy. I was just been giving blood. If you ever tried to give blood to the Red Cross, they ask you a bunch of these different questions, wanting to know if your blood has been tainted by different things. And many of the questions that they ask about have to do with sex and sex outside of marriage and homosexuality and different things like that. Like, has your blood been tainted by these different things? God is trying to protect us. And that's why he created sex to be inside of a marriage relationship. And it's beautiful. It's awesome when it is. It's really quiet in here. Another thing that God wants us to do is to guard our mouths. Ephesians 5:4 says this, "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving." Foolish talk or crude joking. I have been guilty of this one, I know. Like, God, please forgive me. I know I've let some stuff come out of my mouth and joked in certain ways and joked about certain people in ways that I shouldn't have. But it says, let no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place. Those things should not be on our lips as lovers of God. A couple more verses for you and that for you to look up. Things we consume. Proverbs 4:23-27 says this, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and to the steadfast, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." Keep your eyes straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. The world and the enemy, Satan, is trying to draw our attention away from God, to the right and to the left all the time. And there's so much things that are just trying to draw our eyes, draw our attention away from God in our world today. In the media we consume, like, I would say 99% of it is not God glorifying. And we kid ourselves if we believe that it has no direct effect on our souls. What we consume does have an effect on our heart. And if it is evil, it will corrupt our heart. And if we continue to consume it, out of our heart, it will flow. And if you find yourself beginning to talk a certain way, think a certain way, act a certain way, I think you should just look at what you're consuming. Junk in, junk out. Good in, good out. Like, me and my wife, we've been trying to eat as healthy as we, like, our bodies aren't feeling that great. Maybe we should eat a little bit better. Man, my soul ain't feeling so great. Maybe we should eat a little bit better. Romans 12:1 says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Our obedience is a sacrifice to God and is a pleasing aroma, even more than our praise that we sing. Our obedience to him is a pleasing aroma. Is a sacrifice and a pleasing aroma to him. Man, as we've gone through the story and these several other scripture verses, you can maybe feel overwhelmed, feel guilty, feel condemned, but God didn't come to bring condemnation. Conviction, yes, to show us, you know, where maybe we have gone astray. But where Satan likes to point at our mistakes and say, man, you're a horrible person, that's not what God does. What God does is he does bring conviction. He says, you see that thing? Let's deal with it. Like, I can help you. I can help you get free. I can help you be the person that I've called you to be. God loves a life that honors him. He loves a people that want to obey him and be in obedience in accordance with his word. God also loves a repentant heart. And where when we have fallen short, where we have messed up, he loves a heart that says, God, please forgive me. I've messed up. He loves a humble heart. He loves a broken heart in that sense. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, is he faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we hide them? If we conceal them? No. Because God can't deal with anything that you don't bring before him. But he loves a repentant heart. And if you say, God, I have messed up. I've tried to hide this. I've done this out of disobedience, out of rebellion. Please forgive me. Every time, he says, I forgive you. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. It's talking about his people. If they humble themselves, we need to be humble. We need to have humility. Admit when we're wrong. Admit even to ourselves maybe some of the things that we've been trying to hide from God and trying to convince ourselves that it's okay and it's really not that bad. It's like, God, please forgive me. Psalms 149:4. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. So God wants us to have a repentant heart, a humble heart. He's not asking for a perfect track record. He's not asking for us to be perfect and to never make a mistake, but to be humble when we do make a mistake and to be repentant. John 14:15 says this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Growing up, I was, kind of taught, but that you needed to prove your worth or to prove your love. And I read this verse in that light for so many years. Like, if you really love me, then do what I say. Kind of an ultimatum type of approach. Well, you don't really love me if you're not doing what I say. But I think this is how it's supposed to be read and what I'm actually come to find out in my own life. If you love me, or if you fall in love with me, it will be your joy to keep my commandments. And if you find yourself having a hard time struggling, obeying, and keeping God's commandments, spend more time with him. Fall more in love with him. And then it will be your joy to do what he's asking you to do, because you will know the character of God. You will know that he is good, that you would know that everything that he has put in here is for your goodness and for your protection and for your benefit. And so when you begin to read God's word and he shows you something, he highlights something to you or speaks something to you in your spirit and it's like, hey, let's deal with that. You're not going to be like, I don't think so. Be like, no, God, you're so good. I know that you love me. I want to do this because I know it's for my benefit. I know it might be hard, but I know, God, that you are going to be with me in this, that you are going to give me the strength that I don't have myself to do this. And it's going to be for my joy. It's going to be my joy when this takes place. You're going to help me, Lord God, in this. I have found over and over, and he continues over and over and over again as he continues to highlight stuff to me. Newsflash, guys, your pastor is not perfect. I still mess up many times. But as God has lovingly and graciously drawn me along, it's now more and more my joy when God points something out. I'm like, God, forgive me. Help me. And as David prayed, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. David, even in that moment, is saying, God, I can't do this on my own. I recognize that my heart, Lord God, the flesh of me wants to do its own thing and be in rebellion to you. So help me. Give me the strength that I don't have. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Renew in me a spirit that wants to obey you, that wants to honor you, that wants to bless you in all that I do. So my encouragement to you this morning, to all of us, is that we would have a heart, that we would have a spirit that would say, God, I want to honor you in all that I do, recognizing that you have placed everything in your word that you've told me to do for my benefit. God is good. God wants the ultimate best for us. The world does not. It tries to entice us with many different things that will appeal to our flesh and may give us satisfaction for a moment, but in the end, it really draws us away from God and it corrupts our heart. So we should trust God that He is good. Trust that He has the best in mind for us. He has eternity in mind for us. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. We should desire to give our all for God, our whole lives, our best to Him. Because God gave His best for us. He did not withhold His very best, His one and only Son, so that we could have right relationship with Him. If we are willing to confess, if we are willing to repent, He is what? Faithful. He is faithful to forgive us of all of our sins. Not some of them, all of them. Because Jesus paid for all of our sins. And He's faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, what Jesus did on the cross was not just to forgive us of our sin, but to free us from it, to cleanse us from it. And it is a process, but we have to submit ourselves to God and say, God, help me in this. Not just to continue to resist, nah, I don't want to do that. No, God, help me. Not just be forgiven of that thing that is separating me from you, but cleanse me of it so that I no longer desire it, but so that I only desire you. So this morning, that starts with asking Jesus into your life and accepting His forgiveness, and then asking for Him to help you, to cleanse you from the sins in your life. So with just every head bowed, every eye closed, if you have not made that decision yet to give your life to God, to accept that forgiveness that Jesus paid for on the cross, and you want to do that, and you want to start a life that is lived for Him, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. So if you've never accepted God, or maybe at one point you did, but you know that you've walked away and you've begun to live your own life once again, and you want to come back into right relationship with God, if that's you this morning, can you just raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? I see that hand. Anybody else say, I need God? Anybody else this morning? I see that hand. It's for those online as well. We're going to pray this prayer. This is a prayer of confession. that, God, I confess I've got sin and I need forgiveness. God, I need help. I need you to change me. So if we just all repeat these words together, Father God, thank you for loving me so much that you sent your son to die for my sins. Jesus, thank you for dying for me, for paying the price that I could not pay. Thank you for your forgiveness. Please forgive me of all my sin and cleanse me of all my sin. Give me the power and the strength to live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just as we close, I just want to remind us, God is a good God. He's a loving God. He's got such great plans in store for you. And he wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He wants you to have his peace. He wants you to have his joy. He wants you to have his prosperity as well. Remember, the second battle. Go ahead. Take the spoils. Be blessed. I would say, God would say that to us this morning. For those who have a surrendered heart, a humble heart, God, I want to do what you want. Please forgive me for anything that is not in accordance with your word. God loves a humble heart. And he'll say, go ahead. Receive my peace. Receive my joy. Receive my goodness. Amen. As we close this morning, we're just going to spend a moment in worship. If I could have the prayer team come on forward. If you need prayer for anything, maybe even just strength to obey. I know it can be hard. I've lived it. And you could feel just beaten down by life and your struggle. God wants to come alongside you. And sometimes it helps to have somebody pray with you. So please come forward and get prayer, regardless of what it is. And also, if you gave your life to Christ this morning, I want to encourage you to take part in our next steps, which would be getting water baptized or getting into our Fresh Start class, which I believe is an 8-week class, just kind of on the basic beliefs and how to start this new walk with Jesus that you are beginning with. So let's just spend some time in worship this morning and come get prayer if you need it.